Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Die Laureus World Sports Awards 2018. Exklusiv auf meinsportradio.de.
Einen schönen guten Tag und hallo zum Gewinner-Special der Laureus World Sports Awards 2018. Mein Name ist Kevin Scheuren, schön, dass ihr auch jetzt wieder eingeschaltet habt. Und ich habe es gerade, ich habe es in unserem heutigen ersten Podcast vom Roten Teppich, die Töne vom Roten Teppich, die ich euch so ein bisschen präsentiert habe, gesagt. Wir haben noch zwei etwas längere Pressekonferenzen für euch vorbereitet, die wir in einen extra Podcast gepackt haben, damit ihr quasi immer kleinere Häppchen habt. Und jetzt die erste Pressekonferenz, die ich für euch vorbereitet habe, ist die mit Toto Wolff, der Boss von Mercedes-AMG Petronas Formel 1 Team, die zum vierten Mal im vergangenen Jahr Formel 1 Konstrukteursweltmeister geworden sind und daraufhin den Laureus World Sports Award 2018 für das Team des Jahres gewonnen haben, hat sich ins Medienzentrum begeben und dort eine längere Pressekonferenz abgehalten. Ein kleiner Hinweis, diese Pressekonferenz ist komplett auf Englisch und sozusagen aus dem Raum aufgenommen. Das heißt, manchmal ist es vielleicht etwas schwer, sowohl Toto Wolff als auch die Fragen gut zu verstehen. Ich wollte euch das trotzdem ungeschnitten und einfach genau so zeigen, wie es auch wirklich war. Das ist, glaube ich, das Schöne, was wir auch im Podcast machen können. Und deswegen hoffe ich, dass ihr dem so ein bisschen nachsehen könnt. Also, jetzt Toto Wolff von Mercedes in einer Pressekonferenz nach dem Sieg des Laureus World Sports Award 2018 für das Team des Jahres, für sein Formel 1 Team, hier auf meinsportradio.de.
Is there more trophies down the line in that direction as well? Can you keep up the domination of Formula One?
First of all, it's always good to start to, before the season has even started, to get the hands on the trophy. We're testing at the moment in Barcelona. When I left, it was snowing, so not perfect. Collecting a trophy for such a fantastic charity like Laureus is great. And insofar, any trophy we get, we will take.
Yeah, we've had snow here before as well. How is the testing going? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Slippy.
Mm-hmm.
We should have cross-country skis rather than race cars, but it should get better.
Okay, let's have a couple of questions from the floor. Raise your hand, you know the drill. So we'll come in the front here first, and then we'll come to you there. Peter, okay.
Thank you.
Far away.
Toto, congratulations. Congratulations first of all. I wanted to ask you about Mercedes this year. I note the social media campaign driven by each other sort of suggests that you're not being driven by anyone else around you because you're much better than them. How important is it to have that rivalry with Ferrari and be able to work against them, if you like?
First of all, the driven by each other is not just a hashtag that we found good. The truth is, and the award represents that, is that we are a team of 1,500 people that represent Mercedes that deploy two racing cars. And the work of every single team member contributed to the success, and this hashtag should somehow represent this. In terms of the competition, we embrace it. I think we all racing fans apart. We want to have a tough fight on our hands against Ferrari and against some of the other teams. The tougher it gets, the more we enjoy it.
Okay, second question there. Thank you.
There's some very different teams represented here tonight. 1,500 for you, basketball teams, football teams. So what do you think links the great teams, and what qualities do they have in common?
My belief is that if you're able to set common objectives within the team members, people that are very skilled, superstars in their own right, and you manage to align them for that common objective and put all the energy and all the force into achieving that success, this unlocks the greatest potential.
Okay, we'll have a question there from the front, and then I'll come to you there, and then you, okay?
Toto, with the constant transformation of Formula One right now with Liberty Media, and given the fact that there are teams that are opponents but still having some teamwork inside Formula One to make the sport more accessible, make it more modern even, Now with the announcement of F1 TV today, the streaming service that Liberty Media is launching, do you think Formula One is doing everything to go into the next generation?
I think we face the same challenges that all the traditional sports. The way sports being broadcasted and the way sport is being watched has completely changed. In the past, you would put yourself in front of a TV screen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was pretty much the only activity you could do on that day, on a day where the weather wasn't great. And now we have multiple screens, we have so much more content out there, so much more possibilities of entertaining ourselves, and so much more competitors. Everybody who puts a piece of content into the net is a competitor to all the traditional sports platforms. And I think what we need to do is keep the current audiences and the current fans and embrace new generations, that the millennials and the Generation X, that we have to embrace digital. We have to be able to broadcast our product over multiple channels and access all generations. And I think this is the key to unlock. Without damaging the current partners, linear TV stations, print media, you have to equally satisfy the new generation via the social media and the digital channels.
Okay, thank you. Yes, gentlemen.
Hi. If you look back to the past season, what can you say about the arrival with Ferrari? And more in the second one is, what do you think about the next season and Ferrari?
Ferrari are our frenemies. They are friends and they are enemies. It's a fantastic brand. We can fight on eye level with the greatest respect against each other. The analogy I have is a little bit like rugby. We fight each other on track as hard as we can. Each of us wants to win, but we are able to drink a beer with each other afterwards for the great success of our joint platform. And I think the respect among sportsmen is incredibly important, and between Ferrari and ourselves, that respect exists from the very top, all through the throughout the team. And in terms of the fight, they made the biggest step forward from 2016 to 2017. The car was amazing, and I expect the same to happen now from 17 to 18. And I'm very much looking forward to fight them on track and develop Formula One with them off track.
Okay, thank you. Lady in the front, please.
And so about the Red Bull, I think it's not just the rivalry between Ferrari, but also the Red Bull, and also Max Verstappen put a big threat to Lewis.
Yeah, Red Bull is a team that won many championships in the past, and they are, it's a group of good people that have developed the car. And racing them hard on track is enjoyable as well. And they have with Max Verstappen, they have a great future superstar also. So all in all, a team that we respect a lot. But I think you asked a question about Lewis also. I think Lewis is one of the biggest assets. But as I said before, it's not about Lewis, or it's not about Valtteri, it's not about myself. It's the team. And Lewis is part of the team. And this is very rarely in Formula One this has happened, that a superstar, four-time world champion, has been able to integrate himself and to stand among his men, not above his men.
Right, I think we've got time for a few more questions, so the gentleman there, please.
Hi there. How would you describe Lewis Hamilton as a driver and as a person?
As a driver, he's extremely gifted and talented. He has great race craft. In my opinion, the best driver of modern times. As a personality, somebody that is very self-critical, that develops all the time, that is able to step up from year to year. Somebody that I enjoy working with a lot. And as I said to your colleague, he's able to be a lion in the car, but equally show great respect to the team that deploys the cars. And he's a member of the team. So somebody that stands above the team, as we have seen in many occasions with other drivers in the past.
Okay, question there again, and now I come to you in front. Peter, you got the microphone.
What mental qualities link these great sports people again, not just within Formula One, and how far can you also look for those same qualities amongst engineers and the other people within your team?
It's very difficult to pin it down into one quality besides the your genetic luck of talent and ability. I think probably what stands out is social intelligence, performing under pressure, seeing the big picture rather than your narrow view, and being able to put others on the same level than yourself, even though you are in the spotlight and you get more credit and more cheering than some of the hidden champions that should deserve it as well.
We've got Francesco Totti standing by to come into the room immediately after this press conference. We've just got time for one question. I'll come down to the front here, and then we'll have to wrap it up.
One of the other winners tonight, Roger Federer, has just gone back to world number one at the age of 36. One of the teams you beat in this award has a quarterback who's 40 years old. Do you think Lewis can carry on to that sort of age, being at the top of his sport? And is there any new update on his contract situation?
I didn't understand that, because Lewis, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. We are talking with each other. This is... he's at the top of his career, and it is clear that we want to continue with Lewis, and he wants to continue with us. He's the best driver and the best team, so it is a true win-win situation. And I think he can go another two contract terms, because he's at his best now, and we've seen that drivers like Schumacher or Alonso can carry on in the late.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And congratulations again.
Thank you.
Starting Grid, live, 1. März, 20 Uhr. Sei dabei, wenn dich unsere Formel-1-Experten Kevin Scheuren, Ole Waschkau und Christian Nimmervoll zu ihrer ersten Live-Sendung 2018 begrüßen. Schalte ein oder komm direkt in die Sendung und diskutiere mit unserem Formel-1-Team. Adde Kevin bei Skype über kevin.scheuren oder rufe an unter 0228 82 36 9469. Starting Grid, live, 1. März, 20 Uhr, auf meinsportradio.de, im Web und in der App. Keep racing. Sei dein eigener Programmchef. Mit unserer neuen meinsportradio.de App wählst du jetzt zwischen allen Livestreams und Podcasts. Einfach, immer, überall. Hol dir unsere neue App für iOS und Android und bewerte sie jetzt bei Google Play und im App Store von iTunes.
Das war die Pressekonferenz mit Toto Wolff von Mercedes bei den Laureus World Sports Awards 2018 hier aus Monaco im Medienzentrum im Hotel der Journalisten. Das war eine sehr coole Pressekonferenz, und vielleicht haben wir in der nächsten Zeit auch die Möglichkeit, bei meinsportradio.de nochmal ausführlicher mit Toto Wolff zu sprechen. Da bleiben wir auf jeden Fall dran. Dran geblieben ist auch Roger Federer. Nach den ganzen Rückschlägen, den Verletzungen, ist er zurückgekommen auf den Tenniscourt und begeistert die Massen. Also es gibt, glaube ich, keinen Sportler, der so sehr als Vorbild gilt wie Roger Federer, und deswegen hat er völlig zu Recht zwei weitere Laureus World Sports Awards gewonnen. Einmal für das Comeback des Jahres und einmal als Sportsmann des Jahres, und ist damit sechsfacher Laureus World Sports Awards Gewinner und damit Rekordhalter bei den Männern. Und man gönnt das Roger Federer einfach. Und auch er ist ins Medienzentrum gekommen nach der Verleihung für eine Pressekonferenz. Und das war wirklich eine sehr, sehr, sehr coole Pressekonferenz. Und auch die werden wir euch gleich in voller Länge präsentieren. Auch die sind Englisch, auch die ist aus dem Raum aufgenommen. Und auch da ist es vielleicht hin und wieder mal schwierig, Sachen zu verstehen. Aber es gibt eine ganz tolle Frage, so Mitte bis Ende, wo wir doch alle sehr schmunzeln mussten, und er auch. Ich glaube, diese Frage hat er so noch nicht gestellt bekommen. Und ja, ich kann einfach gar nicht viel mehr sagen im Vorlauf, als euch jetzt viel Spaß zu wünschen bei der Pressekonferenz mit Roger Federer von den Laureus World Sports Awards 2018.
World Sportsman and the World Comeback, and I suppose the fact that you've got those two awards not just recognises your great year last year, but also the awful amount of hard work you had to put in to get fit again after injury.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of A lot of athletes have worked hard. I know that I'm not the only one, but I think for me tonight is just extra special to win the Dolores Sportsman Award, as it is the comeback as well. It's pretty crazy. So I'm just very, very happy that all the hard work did pay off. It took take a lot of small and ended up being big decisions along the way with my team, and I think my positivity, my love for the game, and maybe my clarity as well, and in those difficult moments, helped me to be here right now today.
And these are for your doctors and fitness staff and everyone else, really, that helped you on.
Every step of the way, the doctor, you know, he was confident, positive that things could turn out well, but there was always a risk. My physio was very clear what I was getting into. He was always keeping me very positive. My fitness coach has been with me for almost 20 years, basically. He's been unbelievable. You know, he's been with me every step of the way. He wanted extra time to get me back. And then my coaches had to be incredibly patient until they could get me back on the tennis court again. But when I did finally come back, they were ready and they prepared me for every match I played after that.
I think this makes 6 glorious awards in total now, and while we're on numbers, I think your career wins is standing at 95, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 95, and I think a lot of people here would like to know, career wins, not grand slams, career wins in all tennis tournaments. That was the figure I was given.
I've won 97 titles.
97, okay.
Yes, but career wins.
I was told wrong.
Tennis match wins, I got over 1,000, so right. That's why I was confused. Where does 95 come from?
Tennis tournament, that's right. But my question is, which is still relevant, can you get to the 3 figures, the 100, and is that very possible?
A good question, you know. I don't even set it myself as a goal. It's just something really fun to reach, because I never thought I'd be a player who could reach this high. I remember very vividly saying after I won my first tournament back in 2001 in Milan, at least I have won. You know, for the rest of my life, at least I can always tell maybe my children or my parents, I always won one title. That was great. So you can imagine sitting here with 6 lowers, 97 titles, you know, dreaming about 100 maybe is pretty surreal. But I'll try, but I have to stay healthy, hungry, motivated, everything, which I don't worry so much, but the healthy bit is going to be clearly a challenge. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, well, let's have some hands. I'm going to start with you in the front, and we're going to get as many in as possible. You in the front, and then you behind. Lady in the front, and then John behind. Next question, then I'll come to this side.
So, Roger, big congrats first.
Thank you.
And I got 2 little questions. First, you shout out to Rafael first. And what's the key to, we all know that you are the greatest opponent on the tennis court. What makes you guys both rivalries and the friends off the court? What's the key to that?
The rivalry on court is quite clear. You know, we play sort of very different, you know, and very with different intensity. Yet, I think we're both champions, and we both try probably the same way to win a match. You know, it's hard work, tough mentally. Blessed with a lot of talent. And we really respect each other, and I think with him being lefty, me being righty, him being double-handed, me being one-handed, it's just a great rivalry, a great clash for both of us. Friends off the court is just that because we have had some good moments away from it, maybe for charity matches that we've played for his foundation, for my foundation, him inviting me to come to the opening of his academy, playing doubles together at the Labour Cup, and just all the matches, you know, that you've play against one another, they sort of connect you to some extent. When you lose against a guy 9-7 in the fifth, or you win against a guy 9-7 in the fifth, it leaves something special there forever. Whenever you walk past a guy, you know there was a match that really shaped your character maybe as well. So, we always enjoyed, you know, each other's company. He likes seeing my children, my wife. I like the same on his side. So it's just very friendly. But yeah, we know there's a big rivalry at stake always, and the fans know that, and it's all good, you know.
Okay, next question, Jean. Then I'll come to the gentleman in front here. Keep putting your hands up.
Roger, congratulations. I wonder if you can give us an insight into times where, you know, adversity and coming back from injury, just in terms of how you dealt with that, and you know, it's not always success, but it's that
Yes, it's a tough moment, absolutely. Look, I think I'm a very positive thinker, so I always try to see the glass half full, even though things are difficult sometimes. And also, I was getting impatient sometimes with my progress of my knee, especially after Wimbledon. I didn't have surgery then. Surgery happened after the Australian Open, where I did come back after 2 months, but I don't know, for some reason my knee never really recovered. Anyways, after Wimbledon, I really felt like, okay, I probably should be okay in 2 months, maybe three. And when my team told me, well, I need at least 4 months of fitness with rehab and tennis only after that, I was pretty shocked, and it's hard to stay positive in that very moment. But then you go to work and you see improvements almost on a daily basis, and it becomes easier. But when things start stagnating and things become complicated, this is where you need to have good talks with your wife, with your coaching team, with friends. And what I then saw, what was positive, is that I could be home in one place for longer than 3 weeks. I've come to realize that basically for 18 to 20 years of my life, I've never been longer in a place, almost in 4 weeks. So here I am playing 6 weeks in Switzerland, 6 weeks, where I train usually, and it just became everything so relaxed. I could plans with my friends. Let's meet on Monday, let's meet for lunch on Tuesday, let's go to summit on a hike on Wednesday. You know, it was just a great thing, and I think that actually really relaxed me. So on my comeback, I just think I was basically to some extent a different person, because I just had those 6 months away, which really freed my mind in a big way.
Okay, next question in the front, and then we'll come over there.
Bonsoir Roger. Ça sera en français. Déjà, j'ai envie de te dire un grand bravo pour ces deux nouveaux trophées Rolls de la part de tous les fans français que je vais représenter ce soir. Justement, en parlant de France, est-ce qu'après tout ce que tu as accompli ces derniers temps, tous ces exploits incroyables, ce comeback, cette place de numéro 1 mondial, est-ce que quelque part dans ton esprit, l'ultime défi, ça pourrait pas être de revenir à Roland-Garros avec des grandes ambitions?
Oui, on pourrait voir la situation comme ça, mais moi je ne la vois pas comme ça. Moi d'abord, ce que je dois penser, c'est d'être en bonne santé et d'avoir le feeling que tu peux le gagner, ou pense à toute la saison en fait. Et voilà, alors pour l'instant, j'ai décidé que je vais prendre la décision sur Roland-Garros après Miami en avril. Jusque-là, il y a encore beaucoup de tennis à jouer, il faut rester en bonne santé, etc. etc. Mais si je regarde en arrière, avec la France, j'ai eu beaucoup de beau moment avec la victoire forcément à Lille en Coupe Davis, la victoire en 2009 à Roland-Garros, qui était un des plus grands défis que j'ai accompli dans toute ma carrière. C'est en tout cas top 5, si c'est pas top 3, peut-être numéro 1, je sais pas, mais Roland-Garros c'est quand même quelque chose de juste fabuleux. Et forcément le rêve, c'est de encore une fois remporter ce tournoi, ou de rejouer au moins, et de revivre les émotions que les fans français me donnent. Si c'est cette année, je ne sais pas encore. J'aimerais pouvoir répondre à la question maintenant, mais c'est malheureusement pas le moment.
I'm going to try and get around as many as we can in the time. The gentleman there has got the microphone, I think.
Hello, Roger. You're one of the best athletes of all time. You're elegant, you're polite, you receive an award, and you stand up on stage and dedicate it to your big rival. I have to go back home tomorrow and try to convince my wife that you're not perfect. I don't know if you could please confess a flaw that I can talk to her about, please. Thank you. There must be something.
Yeah, exactly. And just tell her there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are not perfect. When you are a husband and a dad, you don't do everything perfect, I tell you that. It's a battle on a daily basis, in a good way. But to always stay calm, and it's just almost impossible, you know. But I try to be the best dad I can be. I try to be the best husband I can be, the best tennis player, and I make a million mistakes. I try to learn from the mistakes, but I'm definitely not perfect. It's so easy answer. You know the answer.
Okay, keep going.
Roger, coming back to perfection, when you're in full flow and things are working, you're hitting the lines and everything else, it looks great from the outside. Can you describe how it feels from the inside at those moments when all the years of training come flooding back out and you're completely in the zone, things are just happening?
It's always a bit of a surprise to me when that happens, you know, because I know I've worked hard and I know hitting the lines can happen, but, you know, you're so far away from the other side of the court sometimes. So to put the ball on a certain location at that very given moment, sometimes you just wonder, like, wow, that was surprising. I can't believe it myself. So, but there you go, the hard work and it being in the zone. It happens very, very rarely, I must admit, but when it happens, it feels like everything's in slow motion for you and in fast forward for your opponent, and you start feeling like, I will not lose this match. And when you feel like this, 99% of the time, you just won't lose because you're too clear in your decision making, you're not in panic, you're moving well without even thinking, and everything in tactics is just, it seems all aligned. And it's a very strange feeling, but it's definitely one of the best you can have as an athlete, I believe.
I'm being told Roger has to go. I'm hoping I can squeeze in very quickly.
There is a dinner.
I know. Very, very quickly, quick question, quick answer, and then Roger will have to go.
Roger, many, many congratulations. With your comebacks, we've been so accustomed to seeing you winning titles, Grand Slam titles. When you're coming back and there's no guarantee that you're going to win another big prize, how's that been for you, that challenge to overcome that and then go and play and perform the way you have been? And
yeah, I mean, look, it's what's been strange sometimes, or normal, I guess, in a way, is sitting in front of the press. This is not the usual place I sit in front. Usually it's tennis players, tennis following press people, and they keep asking the same questions. When are you going to retire? Do you think you can win again? Do you think you can beat that player again on that surface, whatever it may be? And this sort of questions I've had to answer since 2009. So I go way back, you know, and everyone since I won the French Open, then people ask me about retirement, and it has not stopped because everybody has to keep asking me, because they want to be the first to know in case I did take the decision 2 minutes ago. So, so it's like a hammer, you know, banging at the door. Eventually, you feel like it's going to break through, and you have to hold back the door and just not let that come to you. So I think it's made me extremely resilient and strong, having to answer all these questions. I know it's just questions, but it's after every single match, before every single tournament, I get asked these kind of questions. When you're playing better, they evaporate. We talk about forehands and backhands and tactics and opponents and other things. You're like, why are you asking me a question like this in a press conference? But anyways, I understand. So I think this has been a big challenge for me, just not letting that get to my head and truly listening to myself and my team and everybody around me, can I actually still win? And as long as I said I believe truly I can still win, then I believe it's worth it to come back from injury, it's worth it to stay on tour, because that's the feeling I had. But you can be misled by negativity around you sometimes, and I feel like I never really let that come to me. Of course, I have my moments of doubts too, but it's been wonderful, not to prove the people wrong, to be honest, but just to prove myself right and my team right, that look, we did have a plan, we were right, we believed we could beat the best, we believed you could maybe be the best, we believed I could win one more slam, whatever it was, you know, and that's what I think what makes me so incredibly proud and happy right now to receive these two awards, very well knowing that many other athletes deserve these as much as me, maybe even more, but I take them very happily tonight in front of such a great academy that I respect so much, and especially also I'd like to just say that the Dolores Foundation does this wonderful, you know, and seeing all these fellow athletes chipping in and making the world a better place, something I try to do with my foundation too, and like maybe heard in my speech, I hope one day I will be remembered for my philanthropic work too, and not just hitting the fuzzy tennis ball. So it's been a great run. I hope I can still keep this going for many more years to come, but body, mind, friends, family, everybody will decide. We'll see how it goes.
Well, thank you for coming to join us.
It wasn't a short answer.
It wasn't a short answer. It was a good answer. It wasn't a short answer. And thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Applaus im Medienzentrum ist vielleicht nicht alltäglich, aber hier völlig verdient. Roger Federer, der sechsfache Laureus World Sports Awards Gewinner, der sich die Zeit genommen hat, mit den Journalisten zu sprechen. Und wir hatten, glaube ich, alle eine Menge Spaß. Eine ganze Menge Spaß auch in den letzten Tagen. Es war einfach ein tolles Erlebnis hier in Monaco. Jetzt aber langsam mal den Gedanken auch ans Packen. machen, mal alles hier zusammenräumen und dann geht's auch gleich schon zum Flughafen. Dann wieder aus Deutschland die nächsten Ausgaben des Laureus Updates mit den Interviews, die wir geführt haben. Presserunden mit Boris Becker wird es in den nächsten Tagen noch geben. Also wirklich eine Menge Content für euch, der euch hoffentlich gefällt. Wir würden uns freuen, wenn ihr Feedback hinterlassen würdet bei iTunes in Form von einer Rezension oder natürlich auch gerne über unsere Social Media Kanäle auf Facebook, Twitter, Instagram oder in den Kommentaren unter dem Podcast auf meinsportradio.de. Jedes Feedback ist erwünscht. Gefällt euch das gut, was wir machen? Gefällt euch das nicht so gut, was wir machen? Warum gefällt es euch vielleicht nicht so gut? Warum gefällt es euch gut? Das wollen wir natürlich alles wissen. Freuen wir uns sehr über jegliches Feedback. Und jetzt bleibt mir nur noch eins zu sagen. Au revoir aus Monaco. Mein Name ist Kevin Scheuren. Vielen Dank, dass ich für euch hier sein durfte. Und die nächsten Ausgaben des Laureus Updates gibt's dann aus Deutschland. Bis dahin, alles Gute und ciao.
Einer der bedeutendsten Sports Awards der Welt. meinsportradio.de begleitet exklusiv die Verleihung des Laureus World Sports Awards 2018. Alles Wissenswerte zu den Nominierten, umfangreiche Hintergrundinformationen und Interviews mit den Preisträgern. Kevin Scheuren berichtet für dich von den Laureus World Sports Awards 2018. Exklusiv auf meinsportradio.de. Abonniere jetzt den Podcast auf meinsportradio.de/Laureus oder in unserer kostenlosen App für iOS und Android.
Im Frühling steigt so einiges. Die Temperaturen, die Stimmung und die Partys draußen. Nur die Preise, die sinken jetzt bei vielen Produkten langfristig. Entdecke die neuen niedrigen Preise, sogar bei vielen Möbeln für draußen, in deinem IKEA und auf IKEA.de.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Ich habe mich natürlich schockverliebt, weil die war wirklich ganz, ganz klein.
So begann die Mensch-Hund-Beziehung zwischen Christina und Tierschutzhund Frieda. Und wie es danach, nach dem ersten Moment der Verliebtheit, so weiterging und welche Klippen es danach zu umschiffen galt, das hört ihr in der neuen Ausgabe von Iswas Dog, dem Podcast für harmonische Mensch-Hund-Beziehungen.
Iswas Dog mit Malte Asmus.
Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.